I added that to the motto. But I want to focus on that, and I want us to concentrate. How can we grow in our faith? Every pastor wants to do that. Every one of us wants to open up the Word of God and show you how to live the grace of God in your life and be Christ at the center of your life. And today, my message is about holiness. I gave Pastor Brian the theme. I had a different text I was going to preach from, and over the week, I began to realize I needed to preach a little different text. So take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 is our text for today. Now let me begin this second Sunday of preaching. I want to begin with this sentence. We should be holiness people. Cornerstone Bible Fellowship should be a holiness church. I mean, we need to be on fire. We need to be a holiness church. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some of you may have a different opinion about what holiness looks like. If you're familiar with a couple of different branches of Christianity, there is a branch of Christianity called the Holiness Movement. And they do things like rolling in the aisles and jumping pews and swinging from chandeliers and playing with snakes. Michael's ready to do that. Anybody want to join him?
I want to watch people.
Okay, you want to watch people do that. Okay, well, I'm not going to go in that direction, okay? I am like you guys. I've been a conservative Baptist for 30 years, okay? You know, if we stand up, that's a big deal. We're going to look at holiness from a biblical standpoint of what does it mean to be holy without rolling in the aisles and without the spirit of laughter. What does it mean to be holy? Take your Bibles. 1 Peter is a book about the grace of God. And he starts off this book and he talks about holiness. And I want us to see that this morning. I want you to stand. We're going to read some verses here. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, give you the context of 1 Peter. I'm going to skip a few verses and then go down to verse 13 through verse 16. Okay, here it is. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Jasper County, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Then go down to verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. And I pray, Lord, that this word in 1 Peter will speak to us today, that we can grasp a little bit more what holiness is. We can apply the music we just heard into our life, and we can strive for and desire to be holy before you, our holy God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The book of 1 Peter, the theme of 1 Peter is how God's grace shows up in our life. We need God's grace in every area of our life. We need God's grace to help us to be holy. On our own, we cannot do it. On our own, we don't want to be holy. A Christ-centered life does desire to pursue holiness. And our text today is verses 13 through 16. And I want us to go through this passage, and I want us to understand a couple of different things about holiness. And there is an outline for you on the back of the bulletin this morning. The first point I want to make is, what does it mean to be holy? We're going to look at a picture of holiness. In verses 15 and 16, the word holy is found four times. Very important word. Pastor Brian already asked you, what does holiness mean? You gave some great answers. It means to be set apart. It means righteous. It means purity. It means to be different. It means to be sacred. There's really two elements of holiness. One is that perfection, that purity, that hallowedness, that uniqueness, that set apartness, and exclusiveness. The other part of it is holy from sin, holy from anything that defiles, holy from anything that harms us, holy from anything that's unhealthy. We want to be separated from that. We want to be separated to God. Two elements of holiness. God is above us. He's the holy other. He lives in a realm all by himself. And he has a moral attribute that we can have. You know, there's some of the attributes of God that we cannot have. We cannot be omniscient. We can't know everything. We wish we could. We cannot be everywhere present. Sometimes I think people think that pastors can be. We can't be. We can't have all knowledge, but we can be holy. Holiness is a moral attribute that us humans can possess. God tells us, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." It is something that we can possess. We can possess a separateness to God. We can possess a desire for God, and we can also possess a desire to be from sin. There's really two elements, from and for. For God, from sin. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45 twice says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." The book of Leviticus is the holiness book of the Old Testament. The word holy is found 87 times in that book. And that book gives details of what the children of Israel were to do, what they were to be like, to be separated from all the nations around them. And Peter, who writes this, is a good Jewish man. And he takes that holiness book, draws out one of the verses, and puts it in his book and reminds his people, as disciples of Christ, to live a Christ-centered life. Because of the grace of God in our life, because of what Christ has done for us, what he's done for us on the cross and out of an empty tomb, because of what he has done for us, you shall be holy. The key verse of Leviticus is chapter 19, verse 2. "Speak to the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." To be holy, we must recognize the source of holiness, and that is God. Again, Isaiah 6, verse 3. "Holy, holy, holy," three times, "is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." There's a lot of different attributes of God, and anytime anything is repeated in the scriptures, it's repeated because it is emphasized. The only attribute of God that is mentioned three times in a row is holiness. God's attribute of love isn't mentioned, love, love, love. His attribute of justice isn't mentioned, justice, 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 but his attribute of holiness, holy, 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 is the Lord God. That's because that's the supreme attribute of God. Everything else comes from that. He is holy love. He is holy justice. He is holy truth. He is holy righteous. He is holy pure. Holiness is the supreme attribute of God. God's holiness, therefore, is the supreme standard for our holiness. God says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." It's a transferable moral attribute. And again, holiness is really twofold. It is, first of all, a devotion to God. It is duty to God. It is loyalty to God. We delight in God. We love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We find our delight in God. We see his beauty and bask in his glory. We take pleasure in God. God is our focus in holiness. And then because of that, we want to be separated from sin. We don't want any impurity in us. We want to abhor anything that is evil. We don't want anything that harms our relationship with God to interfere. We want to be separated from sin. This has been a personal topic of mine. I grew up in a great Bible-believing church, and I give them credit for a lot of great things in my life. But one of the things that seemed to be communicated was this list of do's and don'ts. Anybody can identify with that? All these things you should not do. And it seemed to be that that was the emphasis. If we're going to be godly people, these are the things we cannot do. After I went off to college, my parents became part of another church, and my wife and I became members of that church, and I even became licensed to preach in that church. It was a Wesleyan church. And the Wesleyans, they emphasized holiness. They were the calm branch of the holiness movement. They didn't get too excited about a lot of stuff, but they did teach me that holiness to God is first. When you have a desire to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you won't do the list on the do's and the don'ts. But your motivation for it's entirely different. Holiness is, first of all, a focus on who God is and your relationship with Him. And because you have that relationship with Him, then there's things that you're going to want to do and things you're not going to do. But it starts with focusing on your relationship with God. And you think about your lifestyle and you think about your responsibilities and the tasks before you. You first of all, don't start with the list of what not to do. Start with the list of who God is. Seek to understand who God is and seek to appreciate the grace of God in your life. Everything we have is because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Peter, the Apostle Peter, couldn't get over his salvation. You look at the first two chapters of Peter, and he keeps going back to what Christ has done for us. Peter himself couldn't get over the fact that he, Peter, who denied the Lord three times, was still saved by Christ. He got to give the sermon on Pentecost, the first day of the church. Peter couldn't get over the grace of God in his life. Therefore, holiness was a desire of his. We shouldn't get over the fact that God has saved us through Jesus. Holiness should be a desire for us. Holiness, first of all, focuses on our relationship with God. We want to be godly, which brings us to the second point. Why should we be holy? The priority of holiness. Well, there's two main reasons, and I've already really talked about them. The first one is because God is holy. The second one is because we're saved. Verse 13 says, therefore. The word therefore is because the previous 12 verses, Peter talks about what our salvation is all about. Again, look at verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours to the fullest measure. The Trinity is mentioned in that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for His salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Therefore, because of this holy God, because this holy God has graciously saved us in Christ, we sinners are saved by amazing grace. We get to see the glories of God's grace given to us in the free gift of salvation. Therefore, be holy. Those who are fully pardoned should desire to be fully holy. The key verse of 1 Peter is chapter 5, verse 12. The last phrase is that, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, stand firm in it. If you can just take a few moments during your days and just reflect upon what God has done for you in Christ on the cross, how He's paid the price for your sins, how He forgives you through His resurrection, He gives you abundant life, eternal life. When you contemplate on how the greatness of all of that is, you want to have a closer relationship with Him. That's holiness. You see, there's more to the gospel than just getting saved. There's this sanctification part, this desire to be in a closer relationship with Him. Because someday we're going to be glorified. Someday we're going to be in heaven with Him, with the saints of all the ages. I've done a lot of funerals. A lot of funerals of great saints. And some of those funerals are sad. For us. Glad for them. They're in the presence of Almighty God. I was talking to my mom this week, and I mentioned to her that I don't have any more aunts and uncles. My last uncle died here a few months ago. We have more family members in cemeteries than we do on earth. But they're all in heaven. They're doing fine. And someday we'll be with them. And we contemplate what God has done for us in Christ. We want to know God better. We want to love Him greater. That's the passion for holiness. Well, there's some practical steps here as well. Oh, one other thing. I got to show two more slides. Back up. Go, there you go. I had to show this one. I found this. It's always fun. Pastors now, we get our illustrations on Facebook. World has really changed. I saw this on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and I had to show this somewhere along the line. To be holy is to go uphill in a downhill world. We're going to be going against culture. We strive to be godly in a world that's striving to be ungodly. I tell you, this world is going full speed to hell. We're throwing out God everywhere. Now, this past week, the political says that if we don't follow a certain political path, our tax exemption should be taken away. That's the kind of world we live in, okay? I found this, atheists don't hate fairies, leprechauns, or unicorns. They don't, because they don't exist. It's impossible to hate something that doesn't exist. Atheists hate God because, what? He does exist. They're denying the reality of it all. That's the kind of world we're living in. To be holy, we're going to be going uphill in a downhill world. That's the tough part in our culture today. But you know what? The purest church are the churches that live through persecution. Study history, you'll find that to be true. The purest church are those that have to stick to the Word of God and enjoy the grace of God and live contrary to the world. They're the ones that are closest to God. Takes us back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, let's put that in some practical steps. How do you do holiness? How do we live holiness? What does holiness look like? Well, Peter gives us a list in verses 13 through 16. There's other texts in Scripture that also give us some insight. The word holy or holiness is found 600 times in the Bible, either to describe God or His people. Well, what's the list that Peter gives to us? Let me take you and throw you five things that Peter says of how we can be holy. First one, verse 13, prepare your minds for action. To be holy people, we have to discipline our thinking. Be careful what you think about. We clutter our mind with so much stuff. We clutter our mind with a lot of things that distract us. We clutter our mind with a lot of things that are unholy and improper. Sometimes our thoughts are undisciplined and we're easily distracted. Some things weigh down in our minds and hinder our spiritual maturity. It's interesting that the first thing Peter says is prepare your mind. It starts in our head. What's our thinking? Don't let your minds be disorderly or loose. Follow your thoughts carefully. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That's a good idea. Let your mind focus on things that are godly. Take charge of what enters your mind. Do you realize that advertising, the whole purpose of advertising, it doesn't matter if it's advertising in print or on the radio or on television or on billboards, the whole purpose of advertising is to make you discontent so that you can buy their product so you can be content. That's the whole purpose of advertising. I figured out, this is not scientific at all, but I figured out that the internet is designed to make you curious, to make you curious. Think about that one. When you're on the internet, when you're surfing the internet, what do you do? You'll go to what draws your curiosity. Right there, folks, prepare your minds for action. Think carefully. We can easily be distracted by the things of this world that come into our mind. There's so much out there that clutters up our mind. Be careful what you think about. Be careful where you surf the internet. Be careful what enters your mind. Prepare your mind for action. Secondly, keep sober in spirit. The spirit is our innermost being, that which connects us to God's spirit. We need spiritual alertness. We need spiritual concentration. Holiness starts in our head, what we think. It goes into our spirit, how we connect with God. Then it comes out in our actions, what we do. Thus, we need to be God-controlled. We need to focus our passions on God. Unholy people are self-indulgent, self-centered, and selfish. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There's a lot of things that we can be drunk on, power and possessions and wine, a lot of different things. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be sober in spirit. Holy people are led by the Spirit of God to live a God-honored life, a Christ-centered life. Therefore, we need to open up the Bible and let it speak to us. We need to go to God in prayer. We need to be a part of a Bible-believing church. We need to have Christians that we connect to. We got to have things that are entering our mind and our spirit that are God-honoring to lead us to holiness. The third thing is fixing your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Holy people, look up, not down. Someday, Jesus is going to return. Amen? The sooner the better, right? I had to look at your doctrinal statement to make sure I could say this next statement, and I can. We're looking for the rapture. We're looking for the rapture. Anytime the Lord can return. You know, the New Testament church is looking for the rapture as well. It's been 2,000 years since then. My grandpa Butler died in 1984, and he believed the Lord was going to return in his lifetime. We're still waiting. But that's the next event on the prophetic calendar. It could happen today. When we think about that should focus our thoughts a lot. We have something to look forward to beyond this earth. We have something great to look forward to, the return of Christ. We have an opportunity to be optimistic, not pessimistic. I saw a thing on Facebook, again, I was going to put the quote up here, but, you know, the pessimist looks at the glass half full, the optimist looks at the glass, no, I said that wrong. The pessimist looks at the glass half empty, the optimist looks at the glass half full, the Christian should look at the glass, "My cup runneth over." Look at the blessings that we get. I'm Facebook friends with Billy Graham's son, Franklin. I'm Facebook friends with Franklin Graham, along with 8 million other people. And I've heard Franklin Graham in person a couple of different times. And he likes to put things about politics on his Facebook. But I've heard him say this personally: it doesn't matter which party is in control, which party you're following, which party does what, they're not on the throne. God is on the throne. God has the final say. And that's our hope. Fixing our hope. Fix your hope. Don't fix your hope on Washington, D.C. or on the Iowa State Capitol or on your job. Fix your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. I found this quote. It says, "Light from fixed stars may take centuries to reach us, but is speeding through space all the while. So grace that is to be revealed when the Lord comes in is on its way." It's on its way. This hope is our dessert for life. After a good meal, you have dessert. After we live a holy life, we have heaven. Live in the presence of God and the saints of all the ages. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. We look forward to that. So fix your hope. That can draw you closer to God and holiness. The fourth thing in this list, verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. That's a negative statement here. This talks about separation from sin. Don't be fashioned after the world. Don't be fashioned after that which is superficial and transient, like clothing fashions. That changes continually. Those of us who lived through the 1970s, forgive us of our fashions. We had double-knit polyester suits and leisure suits and bell-bottom slacks. Forgive us, please. Good thing those fashions change. The things of this earth continually change. Do not be conformed to the things of this earth. Don't be conformed to the former lusts out of ignorance. Put aside as quickly as possible the old life of selfless sensuality, uncontrolled appetites and lusts, evil and harmful practices. The unbeliever does these things out of ignorance. We know better. We should not be driven by our drives. The life of sin is self-destructive. It does us no good anyway. In a great book entitled The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul, he says this: the mystery of sin is not only that it is wicked and destructive, but that it is downright stupid. It's sheer madness. That's what sin is. And when you fall prey into it, you know it's sheer madness. Why would we want to live like that? As obedient children, that's what we are. Not disobedient children. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the things around us. And finally, be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves in all of your behavior. Head, heart, hope, obedience, and now behavior. We can act differently from this world. We may even look different. We may not look like the Amish, but we should stand out somehow or other. By the words we say, by the things we do or don't do, by the places we go or don't go, we should be set apart. We should for sure have different attitudes, different motivations, different purposes. Our purpose is to glorify God in everything we do. We have different goals. We have a goal to center our life on Christ. We want to live out the gospel of Christ. We should have different actions and different behaviors. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness and wisdom. So Peter gives us some steps, some help. What does this holiness look like? What are some action plans, action steps you and I can do? And you and I are not perfect. I'm the first one to admit that today. You know, sin basically is you fall short of the glory of God. And sometimes we get awfully close, but we still fall short. I am not perfect, and neither are you. But that's the grace of God in our life. God's grace keeps working at us. To me, one of the greatest verses in the Bible is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you need that every day? I know I need that every day. As I strive to be godly, as I strive to be holy, you as well. So Peter says, here's the goal. You shall be holy because God says, I am holy. Focus your mind on thoughts that honor him. Have your spirit connect with God's spirit. Fix your hope. God's on the throne. Jesus shall reign. Jesus is coming again. Be obedient. Don't live as the world lives. be like the Holy One who called you. The Holy One who, in the person of Jesus, went to the cross and paid for your sins. The Holy One who rose again from the dead to give you life everlasting, life abundant. Be holy in all your behavior. Because, God says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Another great book is entitled The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. And there's a quote I'm going to show you up on the screen here. Next slide. God has called every Christian to a holy life. There are no exceptions to this call. This call to a holy life is based on the fact that God Himself is holy. Many Christians have what we might call cultural holiness. They adapt to the character and behavior patterns of Christians around them. But God has not called us to be like those around us. He has called us to be like Himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. God's our focus, not others. God's our focus. But I do want to close with this last slide. Psalm 16 is the whole psalm is great. What does holiness look like? What's the benefit for us? How are we helped? Sure, we have this relationship with God, but what does it look like for us here on earth? Psalm 16, two verses I just pulled out of that chapter. One of it is, I accept the Lord continually before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Think about that for a moment. When this world is falling apart around us, when we go through the tests and the trials and the tribulations of life, because our desire is to be holy to God, we will not be shaken. Amen to that? And we've all been through a lot of stuff. We have no idea what this next week is going to bring. There are things in this world that can shake us to the core. But if God's our focus and we desire to be like Him, I have set the Lord continually before me. That's holiness. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Then I love this verse, last one, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. We get to enjoy God. We get to enjoy the life that He's given to us. We get to enjoy the ministry that He has entrusted to us. We get to enjoy the Word of God as it speaks to us. There are pleasures there. We get pleasures in the prayer, pleasures in the fellowship with the saints. We get to be blessed. Do you know how blessed you are? When you strive for holiness, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever. The fully forgiven, the fully saved must long to be fully holy. Let's pray. Thank you, Father.